will now be recorded.
Okay, so, you know, this is like the point of the point where we get to that the summer has normally started, and I don't have as many chaburas that I've been given, that I've given over the years, so it kind of gives me a little bit more flexibility. But this is definitely a little part of the parsha that really does not get much emphasis. So what I want to try to take a look at tonight is, A, the connection between the parsha and the Haftorah, which is always, you know, a fascinating one to do. But besides that, I also want to take a look at the story of the little war that happens when the Kanani attack the Jewish people after Aaron dies. So that's my goal tonight. We'll see how that goes. Okay, so here we go. The pasuk starts off, "Vayisu mikadesh vayavo bnei Yisrael kol ha'eda hor ha'har." So they travel from Kadesh, and the Jewish people come to Hor HaHar. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe el Aaron b'Hor HaHar al gvul Eretz Edom leimor. So God says to Moshe and Aaron by Hor HaHar at the edge of Edom, and says the following: Yeyasef Aaron el amav ki lo yavo al Eretz asher natati levnei Yisrael asher mitem et pi lemei meriva. So Aaron is going to die because he's not going to come into the land that I'm giving to the Jewish people because you did not listen to me at Mei Meriva. So that's a topic that we've explored many times. What exactly is it that Moshe and Aaron did wrong at Mei Meriva? Rabbi Lam has a really beautiful drasha that he gave in 1972 where he discusses all the same answers. What happened? What might have happened? And then he discusses the possibility that his mistake, Moshe and Aaron's mistake, is that not that they got angry, which is one of the classic explanations, but they got angry and took out their anger on the wrong thing. So rather than taking their anger out on the Jewish people and saying to them, "It's you that's the problem," what do? They hit the rock. It's a fascinating psychological analysis of Moshe and Aaron. So what does he say? Kachad Aaron v'Elazar b'no v'ha'alotam hor ha'har. So take Aaron and Elazar. Elazar is Aaron's son, and take them up to the top of Hor ha'har. V'havshet et Aaron ebegadav, and take off Aaron's clothing. V'havshtam et Elazar b'no. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. Take off the Kohen Gadol's clothing, and when you take off the Kohen Gadol's clothing, what you're going to do is you're going to put it on Elazar, who is his son, who's going to take over as the Kohen Gadol, the Aaron Yasev who made Cham, and Aaron will die, and he will be buried there. Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem, and Moshe did like God had commanded. Vayalu al Hor HaHar le'nei kol ha'eda, and he goes up to Hor HaHar with all the people. So everybody knows Aaron's going up, and they see that this is going to be the end of him. And they're going to see this whole thing as it unfolds. Vayavshei Moshe Aaron ebegadav. Moshe takes off Aaron and his clothing. Vayalvei shotam et Elazar b'no. And then he puts it on to Elazar. Vayomet Aaron sham rosh ha'har. Aaron dies at the top of the mountain. Vayered Moshe v'Elazar min ha'har. And Moshe and Elazar come back down from the mountain. So what is interesting is that Moshe sees this and says, "Wow. Right, this is what I could only dream of. I hope that when my time comes, I hope that when I die, that I will be able to see the continuity that my sons will be the ones to take over for me." Right, that's an amazing thing that Moshe witnessed, that Aaron is zoche to, and it's something amazing that that Moshe sees, and Moshe wishes the same thing for himself. Of course, we know that's not what's going to happen. Vayiru kol ha'edaki gav Aaron. The people see that Aaron died, right? Somehow they figured it out. Either they figured it out because three men went up the mountain and only two came down, or maybe they saw, you know, some signs in the world that he died. Vayivkut Aaron shloshim yom kol beit Yisrael. The entire Jewish people, men and women, cry for Moshe, for Aaron for 30 days. This is in contrast to the end of the Torah, where it doesn't say Chol Beit Yisrael, but it says Chol Bnei Yisrael. Moshe only gets cried for by the men. The women don't necessarily appreciate Aaron, Moshe, the way they appreciate Aaron. Okay, we're good. Any questions before we move on? Okay. Fine. Vaishma Knani Melech Arad Yosheva Negev, Kiva Yisrael, Derech Ha'atarim, Vilachim Yisrael, Vaishmi Menu Shevi. Okay, one pasuk, but there's a lot packed in there. The Knani, the king of Arad, they hear. We don't know what they heard. Who are they? The king of Arad is Yosheva Negev, sitting in the south. Now, anybody that knows, right, where is the city of Arad in Israel? It's right near the Dead Sea. You can see it from by Masada, by the Dead Sea, that whole area, right? Arad. So that's in the Negev. So what happens? Kiva Yisrael, they hear that the Jewish people have come Derech HaAtarim, the way of the Atarim, like from the word tur, tarim, the spies. The Jewish people are coming the way of the spies, Ve'lachem b'Yisrael, and they go to war with the Jews, Vayish mimenu shevi, and they catch one captive. That's it. So the Jews go to war, they're attacked, and this is like the entire like loss for the Jewish people is this one captive. Maybe this is the source that every captive and every Jew matters. Right, that's how we are, even if it's one person, and it's not really, Rashi points out, it's not even anybody important, El Shifcha Achas. It's one maid. Nobody really important, and yet the Jewish people, what do? They go to war. Right? We believe that no man is left back. Okay, so that's one possibility. I always found it fascinating, because I wondered, there's not a whole lot of Torah on Vayishpi Mimenu Shevi. I was always curious, but I never found much. It's just this one Shifcha. What's the significance? Who is she? Whose Shifcha is she? Nobody seems to care. Okay.
Why would there be a Shifcha already? I mean, I assume it's a Jewish Shifcha as opposed to a Mitzri Shifcha or some other nation that joined them. Nobody had any debts. Nobody owed anybody anything. I'm assuming, unless there was civil unrest, and people were stealing from each other already and doing other things. Why wouldn't anybody be a
shipwreck?
God provided.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Who this is? Where is she from? Right? Did they go out to war and capture anyone yet? I mean, the only other war that they've had so far is what? The war with Amalek, and that was years ago. Did they capture anyone? I don't know. It's a good point. It's really, I don't know what the answer is.
That it's a shifcha at all.
So I saw in one of the mepharshim today, because I, for whatever reason, this gets me like curious every single year, and then every single year it's like the same letdown. But one of the mepharshim says that they tie this story up to the story of by Naaman, right, who is the general of Aram, where he goes out to war and he also captures one, you know, person. And who is it? It's a Jewish Shifcha, right? So who is she there? She's the one that gives the advice and says, you know, Naaman, like, you know, when the king comes and is looking for, when Naaman has tzaras, she says to Naaman, go to Elisha. So there's a connection between them. But again, like, it's not a very, it's a loose one. Why can't it just be like one guy, one, you know, unfortunate person? He's like the weak guy who's in the back. He gets picked off and gets kidnapped. I'm not sure. Okay, so let's take a look at Pasuk Bet, because I think Pasuk, let's take a look at Rashi first. Rashi says, Vayishma Knani. Right? The Pasuk tells us that the Knani heard. Who's the Knani? Shama Shemait Aron Nistalku Anei Kavod. They heard that what happened, that Aaron had died, and that the Anani HaKavod, which protected the Jewish people, remember the Jewish people had three special things that traveled with them in the desert. They had the Anani HaKavod that protected them, they had the man that fed them, and they had the water that gave them to drink. We know that Miriam is the first of the three, the triumvirate that lead the Jewish people. When she dies, the water disappears. It comes back, Bizchus Moshe and Aaron. When Aaron dies, what happens? The Anani HaKavod disappear. They come back, Bizchus Moshe. Moshe keeps all three of them going until they come into the land, until he dies, and then they go into the land of Israel and they all disappear. So we're told, V'amalik me'older mitzuas nardus li'yisrael. Not only that, who are the Kanani? It's not actually really the Kanani, but it's Amalek, right? Amalek is mezuman b'chol eit la'puranut. Amalek is always there to punish us. Yoshev ha'negev z'amalek. This is Amalek, sh'nemar, Amalek yoshev be'eretz ha'negev. Amalek is in the south. Okay, so that is the... that's the opinion of Rashi. And Rashi then says, Vishina Lushanola Daber Bishon Kanan. What did Amalek do? Instead of speaking Amaleki, they spoke Kanani. Kadesha Yu Yisrael mit Palim La Kodesh Baruchu Latate Kananim Biadam. They daven Hashem, save us from the Kananim. And what happened? Vein Einam Kananim. They weren't Kananim. So what does God say? It doesn't work. Because you're davening to save you from the Kananim. The Kananim aren't the ones that are threatening you. Therefore, your tefillah doesn't do anything. Until Raul... Say again.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen. Right? That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Raul Yisrael levusheyim kelevusheyam aleikim. Right, what happened? They were attacked. Vayish mimenu shevi. They're not winning the war despite their tefilos. They then dive in. They look at the clothing carefully and they're like, "Hey, wait a second, that's not the clothing of Kananim, but that's the clothing of Amalekim." Ulishonam lishon Kanan. But they're speaking Kanani. Amru nitpalel stam. So they said, "What should we do? Let's dive in broad terms, if God puts them in my hands." Right? This is always a dilemma. What happens when somebody asks you to daven for them and you don't know, you know, right? I've gotten this over the years. People come to me and say, "Oh, could you daven for my non-Jewish blah, blah, blah?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know them from anything. What am I davening for? I'm davening for Refuah Shleima. What if, like, he's a anti-Semite, or he's a bad person?" So, you know, you daven like in very broad terms. Hashem, I don't know, give this person what they deserve. And then, Hameven Yavin, if they deserve to be, you know, have a refuah shleima, okay, that's what I'm davening for, and if not, not. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says he uses very broad terms of saying that if whoever is attacking us, whoever this nation is, please save us from their hands. Okay. So Rashi is of the belief that the Jewish people are somehow in southern Israel, right? Very similar to where they were back at the time of Chet HaMeraglim, and they're attacked by the people that live in southern Israel, presumably Amalek. So there is a little bit of a problem with that. Where should the Jews be right now? Right, they're not quite there yet because they haven't attacked Sichon and Og yet, but they've already crossed, I believe, at this point in time. Let me just double check that before I say that definitively. Perek Chaf Aleph. So at this point in time, they're at the edge by Edom. So they should not be by Kadesh Barnea. So the Ibn Ezra says actually it is talking about someone else. And it says Melech Arad, somehow that's talking about Sichon. The problem with that is, why is he called Melech Arad? And why is it by Shema HaKanani? And what's Yoshev HaNegev? Doesn't work all that well. So in a little bit, we'll take a look at the Malbim, and we'll see what the Malbim makes of it. He has his own take on the whole story. Okay, so what's the Jewish reaction? Vaydar Yisrael neder l'Hashem. The Jews, they make a neder to God saying, Vayomari naton titen atam hazeh biyadi. If you give us this nation in our hands, v'hacharamti et areihem. We will hacharamti their cities. I'm purposely not translating it because I don't think the word is so simple what it means. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael. Hashem listens to the voice of the Jewish people. Vayiten et haKnani, vayachrim etem et hareyam, vaykrashem emakom charma. And he puts the Knanim in their hands, they vayachareim them, and their cities, and the place is called Charma. Obviously, the place got the name Charma from whatever this action of Cherem is. So what's Cherem? So Rashi says, Vacharamti akdim shalom lagavoa. That when they say that we're going to make it Vacharamti at Arayim, it means that I'm going to be Makdish. I'm going to sanctify all the spoils to God. And then, in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vayacharem etem behariga. Vayacharem is to destroy. So the word Vayacharem actually could mean one of two things. It could either mean Cherem, which is like, I'm sanctifying this to God, or it can mean to destroy. So there's two ways to read it. They said to God, if you will put them in our hands, we'll destroy them. Doesn't read so well, because if you put them in our hands, of course we'll destroy it. So it's, if you put them in our hands, what are we going to do? We're going to make it Cherem for you. You'll get to keep all of it. And God listens to the voice of the Jewish people, and he gives them, and they destroy them. So the first question I think we have to ask is, why are they making a neder? Right? Like, what's up with that? Why is it all of a sudden they're like, okay, we're going to battle, we lost day one, didn't work out well for us, so what are we going to do? We're swearing to God. That's the first question. And the second question is, who's missing from these psukim? It's okay if you don't notice it, because I... Say that one more time.
Moshe and Eliezer.
Yeah. Okay, so Elazar, I'm not as worried about, because I don't know if Aaron is going to be present in any of these things per se either. But why is Moshe absent from this? Now, the amazing thing is, I've really learned these psukim for 30 plus years, right? And I never even occurred to me that that's a question. But Rabbi Alex Israel points out, I think it's an amazing question. Why is Moshe absent from this battle? Who's doing battle? Vaydar Yisrael neder, right? The Jewish people, they swear by God. They make this promise. We don't know who it is. We don't know what it is. All we know is that there's a promise and that Moshe is not part of the story. Okay. So what's a big deal about making a neder, right? We're like, we train ourselves, we train our kids to use the words bli neder, right? Bli neder. We say it all the time, right? I'll do this. Yeah, bli neder. Why? What's so bad about a neder? And that's sort of what I want to try to figure out tonight, is what is so bad about a neder? What is a neder really doing? And let's try to understand that a little bit better. So who made nedarim in Tanakh that we know about?
The next person comes out of his house.
Yiftach.
Good, yeah. Both people are saying the same thing. Yiftach, right? Yiftach makes a promise that he's going to go out to battle. That's actually our Haftorah. We're going to take a look at that. Whoever comes out of my house when I come back, I'm going to bring up as a korban, okay? Who else makes a ned there?
Chana.
What's Chana's ned there?
I'll sanctify my son to God.
Good. Who else made a ned there? We've got Chana, we've got Yiftach.
Is it possible Yaakov with regard to Rachel and stealing the... Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a... I don't know if that's a ned there. That's a curse. I never really understood, like, what that really means. Like, the Torah says if you curse, like, your parents, right? Like, mot yuma. Like, what does it mean? Like, we think of it as, like, you say certain four-letter words and boom, right? You get beat up or whatever, right? But I don't think that's exactly what that means, right? But, yeah, that's a curse. Whoever stole will lose.
Though, when he asks Hashem to be with him.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Yeah, Yaakov makes the ned there at the beginning of Vayetzeh. He says, Yelokim imadi shmarani v'derech hazeh, unechani beit avi, and you come bring me back to my father's house. What will happen? Aser asvenulach. Everything you give me, I'll give a tenth. That was a little bit of a paraphrase, but that's like the essence of that. Yonah also makes a neder. Yonah, if you remember, is and it's an important one Yonah's situation is what kind of like forces him to neder. Yonah's in the fish's belly, and he's stuck there. And what happens? So he says, you know, God, if you save me, I swear to you, what will I do? I'll keep my promise and do what I have to do. So the question is, what's so bad about making the darim? So Rabbi Alex Israel says that, of course, we have Yonah, Chana, Yaakov, Yiftach, all made nedarim. Why did they make those nedarim? So he says, what's the common denominator between all of them? They wanted something from Hashem. They wanted a good outcome, but what else? Right. When would I think about making a neder?
You're desperate.
Yeah. Right. So Yonah is stuck in the fish. Chana can't have a child. Yaakov thinks I'm, you know, destitute and I'm going out to Haran. Like, this is not a good situation to be in. All these people are in desperate times. They're in a bad spot. So what do they say? They say, God, listen. Lahavdil, Elef Alfe Avdalos. It's like throwing up a Hail Mary, right? I don't know if this is going to work, but I have no choice, so hopefully it will. They're in a bad spot, and they say, God, I need you to help me out. So it's like buying on credit. Basically what I say is, I think I have a great opportunity. Right now, I know there's no way I can make it happen. I can't pay up. I have no money. God, help me out right now. I'll pay you back. That's as Rabbi Alex Israel is the idea behind the ned there. Yaakov says, I don't have anything, but help me and I'll pay you back in the future. Chana says, I want a child. I can't. Give me a child. The child is yours. Yonah says, I want to do what you want me to do, God, but how am I supposed to do it? I'm stuck here. B'me'ei daga. There's nothing I could do. Okay, same thing. And Yiftach also, I can't win this war. So that's what a neder really is. But if here is how it works. God is saying, fine, you're buying on credit. But what happens if you buy on credit and then you don't pay back?
That's an interest.
Okay, so that's a possibility. The person could give you, you know, could like hit you up with all kinds of interest. But what if like the person has no like say over you? Like you're not going to pay him, whatever. What's going to happen? The only thing that he could hold out to you is either he could repossess, he could take the stuff back, or he'll never give you credit again. Meaning what happens is next time you come and say, ach, listen, you know, do me a favor, I want to buy in credit. You messed me over last time. I'm not helping you. Says what it says about Alex Israel, that's how a nether works. If you get what the desired outcome is, God says, I did you a big favor. I took care of you. My expectation is that you're going to make good on your promise. And if you don't, then I can never trust you again. Or, better than that, I can recall the neder, which means I could either take whatever good results back, or I could recall you. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech says that better not to promise than to promise. What's he saying? He's not saying there's anything wrong with making a neder. He's saying, fine, make a neder. I don't have a problem with you making a neder. But listen, if you're going to make one, understand, it's like serious stuff. And you're playing with fire if you don't keep it. That says, Rabbi Israel, is the idea behind the neder. Right? That's why the pasuk says, Ki tidor neder l'Hashem elokech lo tacher l'shalmo. Don't wait to pay it back. Ki darosh yidrashenu l'Hashem elokech mimach. God is going to seek it out from you. And if you don't give it to him, so you will be a sinner. Okay. It's a very long malbim that I don't have time to go through the whole thing. So I'm going to ask, if you go to the very end, David is so kind and helps us out so much, four lines from the bottom. This is like amazing. We adjust for like size. So when it's like small print, like David's just got to work a little bit harder. Four lines from the bottom by the comma. It's like 5-6 words from the beginning of the line on the right side. V'im kein. One line down. Four. Yeah, there we go. V'im kein ma shenemar v'yilcham b'Yisrael v'yesh menu shebi lo hayu im hayu etzel hor ahar. It couldn't be by Hor HaHar, because Hor HaHar is nowhere at all near the Derech HaAtarim, the way of the spies, and it's nowhere near Arad or southern Israel. So Val Yidei Kain Chazu L'Achareim. So the Malbim says this is proof that what? Which is the famous idea that after Aaron died, the Jewish people rolled back 8 steps. They were like, no, this is bad news. It's not going to end well for the Jews. So they roll 8 steps back. And then where would 8 steps back be? It would not be near Edom on the cusp of moving up towards the Jordan River to cross that way. You have to cross eastward from the western side of the Jordan. But rather they were heading 8 steps back towards southern Israel. That's what he says. Okay. So what happens? The Haim Nadru Neder. Oh, wow, look at this. We get like maps and all. Okay, yeah. So, let's see.
Next we're going to watch the Barrett's home videos.
I know, David's like, watch. Next is David's going to give the shear. That's going to be like, all right, awesome. So I can't see on that map where Hor HaHar is. But if you look at where the blue, the green, the red, where they all come together, you'll see in really small letters it says Kadesh Barnea, right? Which is right near, oh, thank you. Amalek is right on top of that. So they should have been to the right, right? Where it's at the very edge of the map where it says Edom Seir. They were more towards there. So what happens? They kind of roll back a little bit to the left, and that's what lands them in the area of Kadesh Barnea. Amalek, obviously, the map shows is there, and that is where they are attacked. Okay, fine. So this is what we have. So this is what we have so far. We're trying to understand why they make a neder, and why make the neder now. So I want to try to explain that before we look at the Haftorah. We have to remember that this is the second generation. And the second generation people, they are nervous. What have they never done before? They've never had a war. Because the last war that the Jewish people had was on Amalek, and that's 40 years earlier. These people have no idea what a battle is, so they're afraid. So what do? They make a neder, which is like their security blanket. I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. Hashem, I'm asking you the following. I swear by God, says the Jewish people, that we'll do good by you if you do good by us. That's one possibility why they make a neder. So another possibility is that they know from now on they're going to need to fight on their own. So the neder boosts and shows their belief in Hashem. They're basically saying, God, we know we have to do this, but we know that if we make a net there, it shows you that we believe in you and that you're going to take care of us. And that's why they use the idea of Cheirem. Cheirem is connected to this, because if it's Hashem's win, then I don't get the spoils of war. Hashem gets the spoils of war. And that's actually what one other reason why Moshe might be absent from the whole story is, because they want to show that they don't need Moshe anymore. They need Hashem. And this is an incredible piece, because what Rabbi Alex Israel is saying is, to the Jewish people's credit, they recognize that they don't need to be reliant on Moshe, but rather they need to be reliant on God. Therefore the neder and so many of these other pieces. Okay, let's take a look at the Haftorah. Vayosef od Yiftach vayishlach melachim el melech bnei Amon. So Yiftach sends messengers to the people of Ammon. Vayomer lo ko amar Yiftach lo lakach Yisrael at Eretz Moab at Eretz Ben Ammon. He sends a message to Moab and Ammon and says, we never took your stuff. What happens when we came to from Egypt? We went to the desert until Yam Suf, and we came to Kadesh. Sounds very similar. This is our story. So we sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, let us cross through into your land. And what happened? We weren't given permission. Right? We asked and nobody gave us permission. So what do we do? If you look at that map that David left up for us, it's perfect. I don't think you see my mouse moving, but they were by Kadesh, and they have to get past Edom. The problem is that they can't go through Edom. If you're not going straight up north from Amalek into Canaan, the quickest way would be to hug the Dead Sea and go up that way. But they can't, because that's where Moab is. So they go south. But what happens? Edom is there. Edom also says that we don't give you permission. So they circle all the way around, passing by Edom, passing by Moab. And so what happens? Vayavo mimizach shemesh laeretz Moav, vayachanun be'ever Arnon. They come to the to Arnon. V'lo bau b'gvul Moav, k'Arnon gvul Moav. They didn't come into Moav because Arnon was the border of Moav. Vayishlach Yisrael malachim el Sichon melech Amori melech Cheshbon. They sent messengers to King Sichon of the city of Cheshbon. And what do they say? Vayomer lo. They say to him, let us come in. Sichon did not give them permission, even though they said, we don't want war. We're not interested in your land. We're interested in getting into the land of Israel, and this is the only way. So what happens? He brings his entire army. They fight in the city of Yatzah with the Jewish people, and of course, they leave. They lose. 10 psukim later, look how similar these words are. Vayidar Yiftach neder l'Hashem. Yiftach makes a neder to Hashem. If you don't, David, you don't have to turn back. But pasuk bet of Perichov Aleph is Vayidar Yisrael neder l'Hashem. The same exact words. It is really, really like, you know, exactly the same. They both made a neder to Hashem. Vayomer.
They say, "Im naton titein et amon biyadi."
I mean, these words are exactly the same thing. If you give me the win, what's going to happen? Yeah, this is where he makes a mistake. He says, "Whoever comes out of my house, what will be? I'm going to bring them as a korban." We'll skip Lamed Bet and Lamed Gimel. Basically, he wins the war. He comes home. Vayavo yiftach mitzvah beito. He comes to his house, and what happens? Vinei beito yotzeit lekrato betupim mucholot. His daughter comes out with all kinds of instruments. V'rak hi yechida ein lo mimenu ben ubat. She's his only daughter. When this happens, he tears his clothing. He says, "No, it can't be." He says, "I messed up. I'm going to suffer. I can't go back." And then she says to him, "Don't worry about it, Dad. It's all good. I'm totally fine with that." And then what happens? So pasuk lamed zayin, v'tomer levi yaseh li hadavar hazeh harpei mimenu mimeni shnayim chadashim v'elcha v'yiradti al harim v'evkeh al betulai v'anochi v'reotai. Says, "Let me have 2 months. I'm going to go down to the mountains and cry about my virginity, me and my friend." Vayomer lechi, says, "All right, if you gotta cry, go cry." And they go and they have a long cry. 2 months pass. Atasha laviha vayaslat nidro. He is mekayim his neder v'hilo yada ish. She had never slept with a man.
Vatichok bi Yisrael miyamim yamima teilachna benot Yisrael letanot lebat yiftacha giladi arba'at yamim b'shana. 4 days a year, people would go out to her in whatever way. What happened to her? It's not clear. Maybe she died. Maybe she was sacrificed. Maybe she just lost her ability to be free. All possibilities. What does Yiftach mean? Yiftach comes from the word Pesach. Patach. To open. If I make a neder, let's say I make a stupid neder, right? What's my stupid neder? I make a neder, I'm not going to sleep. Well, obviously, that neder doesn't work. Because I can't not sleep. What do I have to do? I'm in a bind, right? Now, some nedarim, if a person, right, the Gemara nedarim, the Mishnah and nedarim talk about, let's say a man makes a neder that he can't get any hana from his wife. So what happens? The easy fix is, right, they get divorced. And then there's nothing to talk about, nothing to worry about, right? And now he doesn't have to get hana from her. He doesn't have to get benefit from her. But there's certain things, they're impossible. I can't go weeks without sleeping. So what do? I go to a chacham, and I do hataras nedarim. That's what we're supposed to do. Yiftach comes from the word pesach, poseach, to open. He could have found an opening, but he chose not to. Why did he choose not to? So Bereshis Rabbah says that there were three people. There are a lot of people that made nedarim, and they said things that were very foolish. In 3 of the 4 cases, God does them a favor and fixes it, and in 1, not. What's the first one? Eliezer makes a promise. He says, I promise that whoever, the girl that fulfills all my conditions, she's going to give me a cup of water and then give my camels to drink. She's the girl. So the Medrash says, what if she would have been a horrible girl? So, it's fine. Next, or what if she would have been an ugly girl? These are all possibilities. God made sure that Rivka came out. Otniel ben Knaz says that, Kalev said, whoever is the one that conquers Kiryat Sefer gets my daughter. It could have been a bad situation, yet Otniel ben Knaz, his half-brother, his stepbrother, who is a good guy, he gets it. And the last one is Eliezer, Kalev, and Shaul. Shaul says, whoever beats the Plishtim and brings me 100 foreskins will get my daughter. And it turns out that who ends up doing it? Thank God, it's somebody good. It's David HaMelech. And yet, why does Yiftach not be Zocha to this? So, the Medrash says, if you take a look, it's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines at the bottom at the period. V'lo haya sham Pinchas sheyatirat nidjo, el Pinchas amar, hu tzarich liv, ani eilech atzlo. V'yiftach amar, ani rosh uktzine yisal, ani olech lo yitzal Pinchas. Pinchas says, I can be poseach his ned there, but he's got to come to me. I'm the gadol ador. And Yiftach says, I could go to him, but I'm the leader of the generation. Neither one of them is willing to swallow their pride, and Yiftach ends up losing. So is that it? Is that the reason why Yiftach loses out? Because he wasn't able to swallow his pride? So I want to suggest one other possibility, which I think does a nice job of explaining and contrasting the idea of a neder. Is a neder a bad thing? The answer is not necessarily. A neder puts me in a very tough spot, and I can't mess up. But at the same time, what a neder also does is it shows me the value of my words. So let's take a look at the last source. Vayomru ziknei gilad el Yiftach Hashem yesh shomea benotenu. The ziknei gilad say to Yiftach, God will hear between us. Im lo kidvarecha kenasef. You don't do, keep your word. Kidvarecha. Vayelech Yiftach im ziknei gilad v'yisim amoto aleim l'rosh l'katzin v'yedaber Yiftach l'kol devarav l'fnei Hashem b'mitzpah. Yiftach speaks all the speeches in front of God. Take a look at Pasuk Chav Chet, last Pasuk on the page. V'lo shama melech b'nei Amon al divrei Yiftach asher shalach elav. B'nei Amon didn't listen to the words of Yiftach. I'll give you a spoiler if you've never learned the story of Yiftach. When Yiftach is over, the Jews break out into civil war. The people are like, why didn't you come and help us? And they're like, because you didn't call us. And they start fighting with each other. And what happens? Certain Jews are trying to escape because they don't want to get hurt and get swept up into this whole thing. And they want to cross over a bridge to escape the conflict. But Yiftach's men wouldn't let them through. Why? Yiftach's men said, we'll only let you through if you say the word shibolet. Why did they use the word shibolet? Because these Jews who hadn't joined in Yiftach's war, they all did not have the mesorah of sh as a sound. So they would pronounce the word sibolet. And they would say the word shibolet. And these guys would be like, sibolet. They just physically weren't able to say the word shibolet. And when they heard that, they knew who they were. And they kill them. There's a big civil war. What is Yiftach doing? He's listening to devarchem, their words. Says Rabbi Alex Israel, Yiftach is a man of words. Everything that he does is based on words. He puts words on a pedestal, and he gives them such value. And he says words can never be broken. Yet, he gets carried away by his words. When a person makes a neder, the person has to make sure that their neder is something that makes sense. Chana, I want a son. If I get a son, I'll consecrate it to God. Yonah, God, the reason why I'm stuck in the fish is because I didn't listen to you in the first place. Get me out of the fish's belly, and I'll do what I have to do. Yaakov, I'm in a really bad spot, but I want to worship you. So, save me, and it'll all be good. Even the Jewish people, in our parsha, Vayidar Yisrael Neder LaHashem, what do they do? They don't leave anything out. Im Naton Titen Amzeh B'Yadi V'Acharam T'Ram. If you give it, we'll give everything to you, God. They leave no stone unturned, and they ensure that their neder is what? Is to a T. There's no loose threads in it. That's Yiftach's problem. Yiftach's problem is that while he takes words very seriously, he gets carried away by his words. Words are powerful, yet much like the word cherem, they have two possibilities. They could sanctify and they could destroy. Yiftach doesn't get that. He doesn't understand that. And that is his mistake, and that's his tragic flaw. What the Haftorah does so beautifully is it contrasts words of the Jewish people to the words of Yiftach. The Jewish people understood that words do matter. Words do make a difference. Words are dangerous. And one has to be really, really, really careful. So says Yiftach. That's a beautiful idea. I'm sorry, so says the Jewish people. So misses Yiftach. And that is the message of the Haftorah. The message is that we are all blessed with the ability to speak. That's a gift. But it's a dangerous gift if it's not dealt with properly and carefully. That's what the Haftorah and the Parsha try to teach us.